This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, pet lovers. Welcome to Best Bets for Pets. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. So today we're going to talk about something that pet parents and potential pet parents always consider, and if they don't, they should: the cost of having a pet, especially the care. Sometimes pet parents are aware of it, sometimes they just don't think. And my guest today not only has answers to our questions as to why costs are raising, but also solutions on what to do. So stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Jonathan Weinberg. He is the Senior Vice President and General Manager of Pet at Care Credit. Welcome, Jonathan.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me back, actually.
Oh, yes. Thanks for coming back. I've been doing Best Bets for Pets for 15 years, so I've done so many shows, but I know we talked before, and, you know, it's a topic that pet parents always need to think about, and new pet parents don't always think about, and even people that have been pet parents for ages forget about, you know, the cost of pet ownership, especially when they have a crisis. But let's go to the beginning here. Can you explain to our listeners what exactly Care Credit is?
Yeah, Care Credit is a credit card, and it is a credit card that helps you manage your expenses and out-of-pocket for expenses, whether it be in the pet space or whether it be in other areas in the healthcare space, in particular in elective healthcare space. And what it basically allows you to do is it allows you to take that expense that you have, whether it's expected or unexpected, and pay over a larger amount of time through various deferred interest promotions that makes your bill much more manageable, bite size, if you will, depending on how long. And it's something that we have found has been critical to our cardholders across the United States in a myriad of industries, but in particular in the pet space, because as Michelle, you mentioned quite truly that costs are a big issue, especially because we want to give so much great care to our pet family members. And Care Credit is an invaluable tool to help get that access to care in a budget-friendly way.
Okay, and we'll talk more about Care Credit at the end of our show. Let me ask this now, though. What makes Care Credit different than other credit cards? Just a couple of features, because we will talk more about Care Credit near the end of the show. But it's a credit card, so what is it different than maybe using another one of my credit cards?
Yeah, so there's several unique differences. Is that, you know, we're accepted in the vet space in about over 27,000 of vet providers. And what makes that Care Credit card unique is that you could put it on a longer promotional period. So whereas you're on a normal credit card, you're going to start having to pay your bill right away after 30 days. Well, Care Credit gives you that flexibility to pay it over different time periods. So it could be over 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, 2 years, which you can do without incurring interest, so long as you're making that minimum payment. So it really makes it into a bite-size promotional finance and lets you pay for that over the time of what is approachable for someone that has a large bill. And we do that in partnership with vet practices across the United States. And because of that, especially in this environment, not having to pay interest if you're making those payments is a real difference maker. We're also able to underwrite deeper because we know that that card is going to be used in a defined network as opposed to, you know, a general purpose card where you can use it anywhere outside. And so a Care Credit is able to extend credit to a population which might have a harder time getting a MasterCard or a Visa or American Express.
That's another great consideration. All right, thank you. I've seen it in many places and in every vet office I think that I've ever used. Let's talk about now about pet ownership and why the true cost of pet ownership is rising. What do you think one of the most significant misconceptions of pet costs are that people are don't take into consideration when they're adopting?
Well, at the beginning of life and bringing a pet in the family, the startup costs can be not insignificant, right? So before you even get into, you know, some of the surprise health issues that you might have, you just have the stuff that come at first, right? Your first vet visits, all the vaccinations, inoculations, everything that goes with that, but also getting your house ready for a pet and making sure that, you know, you're excited about it, bringing another member of your family into your house, right? So getting, whether it's a crate or a bed or a bowl and the food and everything, the collars, everything that goes with that. And you want to, you know, most cases have the best foregone. So right at the time when you decide to bring that pet into your family and into your home, right away, you're incurring quite a bit of expense. And that's even before you factor the cost of the pet itself, right? And so there's a lot of, you know, for lack of a better term, startup costs when it comes to bringing a pet into your home.
You know, that's exactly what I was thinking of. I thought maybe my head's going a little too business, but, you know, the startup costs of pet ownership can be significant because you have to obtain so many different items, as you mentioned.
Oh, and it's an exciting time. And so you want to get like the new cool tricks, like the collar that tells you if they're exercising or not, or the GPS thing, depending on the animal. Or if it's a cat, you want to have the, you know, some people be, you know, the robot litter box, right? And all that stuff tends to add up. So it's an exciting time. And we could understandably get, you know, very excited and, you know, perhaps out of control or very aspirational some of the purchases we're making.
Right. And especially with new technology, I mean, a collar used to be, what, $10, $15, $20. Now you can get a collar for up to $300, $400, $500, you know, if you want a kind of a super collar. Let's talk about some of the hidden costs that pet parents don't think about beside the obvious, which is generally food and treats and maybe the annual vet visit. What are some of the things that pet parents just don't think about that, you know, that come into surprise?
Yeah. So I think before, you know, we'll get into the healthcare things in a second. I think the other things which come as a surprise is, you know, boarding, you know, and grooming, right? Grooming, depending on the pet you have, if we're talking certainly about dogs, right?
Yep.
And stuff like that, which can add up. And, you know, in some cases, depending on the coat, you should be going monthly. You know, others maybe not quite as often, but that is becoming more expensive as people are returning to the office at a much higher pace than we used to, right? You know, a big consideration for pet parents is, you know, the mental health of your pet and being left home alone, right, is not easy on those family members that are used to us being at home for a lot of the time and thrive off of our attention and our compassion and companionship just as we do from theirs. And so having them have activity and being able to, you know, go on walks and play with other dogs and so on, that's certainly, you know, when you think about just general well-being, those are some expenses that, you know, I think people need to consider. Then you start getting into, you know, some of the unexpected healthcare costs. And the fact is that just like humans, you know, things surprise us, right? You know, we get sick, they get sick, right? And the difference a little bit is when we get sick, we can kind of explain it to ourselves better. We can talk to someone that we know or we've had it before. You know, to this day, we still don't speak pet as much as AI has advanced. We still don't speak pet. So if I'm looking at my dog here in the corner, Maddie, she's not feeling well, she's not able to tell me. And so, you know, chances are you got to go see someone about that. And so you see a lot of, you know, unexpected visits that pop up, which are expensive. And then, you know, the report that we commissioned showed that, you know, 4 out of 5 pets in the right time will have an unexpected emergency. And so, you know, I always say you should always, you know, prepare for the unexpected, which is, or expect the unexpected, which, you know, is a little bit of a oxymoron, but still it's something that you have to do if you want to be a responsible pet parent.
I absolutely agree. Do you think that the advancements that we've seen in veterinary medicine, you know, and technology, and also the pet wellness trends have had a significant influence on price increases for the, you know, the average pet parent? Like, for example, fresh food versus, you know, your standard wet food, wet and dry food combos, you know, certain wellness trends like supplements versus when, I don't know, 20 years ago, they were unheard of, special diets.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things happening. I think if we look back and we say, okay, macro-wise or just, you know, how the world views the pet as a member of a family has, number one, elevated a lot in the last, you know, 15, 20 years. So right away, you're seeing people wanting to spend more on their pet, right? Which drives a higher cost. And some of those products you talk about, right? Like the fresh food and other things that people are seeking out as alternatives to some of the traditional foods that have been in the system for a while, right? I think that's one part of it. I think another part of it is just general inflation, right? I think you know, the vet industry has not been immune to that. But the third part I would point out is the care that we're getting is so much better. There's been so many advances in medical treatment and, you know, care for our pets now, with outcomes being greater as well. And so with that, you see a higher cost because of the investment that vets are making in their training, that pharmaceutical companies are doing for their you know, cutting edge treatments. When you think about, you know, some of the injectables now that are on the market and only having to bring that dog in maybe once or twice or quarterly, as opposed to having to do something monthly, that's game changing. And that's as a result, we're seeing, you know, a large part of higher cost because of that. But I view the higher cost part of it as, yes, there's obviously the negative parts of it where, you know, to some extent, you know, there are people that are being priced out of the market and unable to, you know, manage their expenses as well as they can. But we are seeing pets living longer and having, you know, happier and healthier lives in their families. And to that, it's great to see.
I absolutely agree. Okay, let's talk about budgeting. We're going to talk about how to budget for both routine and emergency care. What would be your advice for building a realistic pet care budget that includes, you know, day-to-day expenses as well as potential emergencies? And when I mean day-to-day, you know, there are some things that really surprise new pet parents. For example, dental visits. It's not just like when you and I go to the dentist and they do a dental cleaning. It's not just a dental cleaning. Your pet has to be put under, and that requires blood work. So a dental cleaning for us two-leggers, that could be, even if you paid out of pocket, but $200, $250 with just the cleaning for your pet, blood work. So we're looking at, what, $400 to $600. Then you have the dental. So we're looking at almost maybe $1,200, $1,500 for just, that's just regular on an annual basis, because that's what you need to do for good dental care. How do we build a budget for this, for these regular routine care for our pet? Plus, as you said, 4 to 5 pet parents will have an emergency at some time. How do we build a budget for those emergencies?
Yeah, first of all, I want to agree. Dental care is a very underestimated expense and such a necessary treatment that pets get, you know, that dogs and cats need, because, you know, they do just about everything with their mouth, right, and their teeth. And it's so important for them to have a healthy oral health, right, and strong oral health for them to be able to be, you know, live a long life and with a happy life. And so, you know, I would say the first shock bill actually that I got was when Maddie had to have, Maddie's my now 15-year-old miniature poodle, but when she had to have her, she cleaned it, and then you add on top that she had to have some extractions, and that costs even more. So it is a shock to the system, but a very necessary cost. So going back to the first question, how do you budget for the, you know, the normal day to day stuff, and then how do you then layer in some of the budgeting for some of the more unexpected stuff, or if not budgeting, tools that you can use. So I would say the first thing is do your research, right? Understand, you know, the cost of care in your area, and for your breed, and what is the right kind of, you know, spectrum of care, or what is right for how, you know, your family works. What might be right for, you know, me and my family might not be right in the way that you think about the healthcare that you want to give your pet. There's always some level that you want to give. Some people might want to be more holistic. Some people might want to be more traditional, et cetera. But factor that in. Understand your breed. Understand what kind of lifestyle you have. Are you someone who travels a lot but's going to need a lot of boarding and things like that? So get that first out of the way, and then kind of really have a sit down with your vet to explain and understand what kind of treatments you can expect for that breed and for your lifestyle and together, and use that, I would say, first as your baseline. There's an incredible amount of tools out there. We have them on carecredit.com as well, about what you can expect to pay based on certain breeds and certain procedures and treatments that are needed. So I'd start with that as your baseline. Then a little bit more about, you know, okay, if I'm getting a lab, or I'll use Maddie as an example, because she's right here in front of me. She's a miniature poodle. Well, Cushing's is not uncommon in a miniature poodle. So is that something that you should be prepared for? But coming around, you know, when you become a little bit older, 8-9 years, that's something that you might have to be treated for, and kind of understand, you know, the long range of it. And to some extent, Michelle, as you know, like, the costs aren't going to be smooth over the years. So you're going to have peaks and valleys on this, right? And just understanding, okay, well, when do pets generally start to see a little bit more need for sick visits as opposed to the general wellness visits, and plan like that. And then, you know, some of the tools I would suggest are, you know, beyond just your basic budgeting, you can have the pet savings accounts, a saving account that you have dedicated just in saving money, because you know that at some point there is going to be an unexpected cost. We talked about Care Credit, and I think that's a great tool for the expected and unexpected expenses, and something that, you know, allows the cardholder to pay over time, but also provides an access to care which some might not be able to have without it. And then pet insurance is also a great tool to have.
Let me interrupt you for 1 minute. We're going to get back to that, but we'll be right back after this break.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5-mile walks.
She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Jonathan Weinberg, and he is the Senior VP and General Manager of Pet at Care Credit. A lot of great information regarding how to budget for your pet or pet-to-be, and things to look out for and check out. Right before the break, you had mentioned that there is a tool on Care Credit that pet parents can use based on their pet's breed and age. What I like about this too, since it's breed, it usually generally encompasses size, because as you were mentioning, you have a miniature poodle, you said, correct?
Yes.
So little dogs, because I used to, he's in doggy heaven now, but had a Havanese, and little dogs, one of the other things that little dogs are prone to is mouth problems, and dental extractions are pretty common in smaller dogs. I think Nikki once had to have like 5 teeth pulled. It's just common. Different breeds, some have respiration issues. So that's a great tool. How can people find that?
If you go to carecredit.com and then you kind of link down and hit somebody veterinary, you'll see there's a drop down in veterinary, and then you could navigate the site and you'll see a lot of information there about, you know, procedure, data, cost, et cetera.
Okay. And right before the break, we were starting to get into this question, but you mentioned pet insurance. So what role does Care Credit play along with options such as pet insurance in managing these unexpected expenses or, you know, large expected expenses?
Yeah. Our view is a multitude of products, you know, can create a good safety net to provide that optimal care for your pet and an optimal, you know, predictability and support for our budget. Care Credit used to own Pets Best, which is one of the largest pet insurers in the United States. And we sold it about 18 months ago, but we continue to invest as part of it with a company called Independent Pet Holdings. And they own quite a few brands in the pet insurance space. So not just Pets Best, but also Embrace Pet Insurance, Spot Pet Insurance, ASPCA, AKC, and Pumpkin. And so, you know, we're very much invested in the pet insurance space because we know that together between insurance and Care Credit, if you have both of those solutions, you're really put in a great position to get that optimal care for your pet and also the predictability and the free of mind that your pet is going to be cared for. And, you know, we actually just launched something with Pumpkin just a few weeks ago, but we already had existing with Pets Best that integrates a little bit of the experience. And so if you go to the vet, because the way that pet insurance works now is on a reimbursement model, right? And so you go to the pet, you pay the bill, and then you file a claim after, and your insurance will pay you off. But not a lot of people have, many people do not have the money to pay for that vet bill at the initial time. And so what Care Credit has partnered with Pets Best and Pumpkin is, if you put the bill, if you pay for your vet bill on your Care Credit card and then file your claim, once it gets settled and decisioned on, will pay off your Care Credit bill so that it pays off your promotion and removes that one step, and you don't you don't accrue any interest by having it go directly and paying off that bill if it satisfies the entire amount. So something just to make the pet parents' life easier in such a busy world, and just an example of some of the technology that we're partnering with in the industry to provide more tools and smarter tools for pet parents.
Okay, thank you. Let me ask you, with pet insurance, there's different schools of thought. Some people love it. There's a little bit more that say, well, I don't know, you know, I'll pay this out, then I get a bill, and this isn't covered, that isn't covered. It's gotten better over the years. I still think it has a ways to go. I like the fact that with what you had just mentioned, if the bill is paid for on Care Credit, when it's reimbursed, it goes off the bill. It might also kind of expedite the whole process. But do you see improvements as much as there's been improvements in other areas of the pet industry?
So I think that, yes, I do think pet insurance is going to continue to play a role in the U.S. Pet industry ecosystem. And I think that role is going to become more important. But at this point, it's only 4% of pets in the U.S. are insured, right? And so it's still a small number. And why Synchrony is invested in this space is that I do know that there's an incredible amount of investment in technology to make that experience better, for there to be more transparency at the time of treatment about what is covered and what isn't, right? And I think that's, you know, the beauty of, to some extent, the world that we're living in with artificial intelligence and some of the real-time tools that can help do that. And I think that's going to continue to play a role. But I think going back to your question, Michelle, is, you know, pet insurance started off with not a great launch in the U.S. And I think some people are still a little bit you know, suspicious, if you will, of how it works. I think the industry has done a good job as of late to become more, not just more transparent, but also giving you, as the pet parent, the ability to customize your plan more for what you need. So what is the right deductible? What is the right coinsurance? How much do you actually need to be insured? Because in the past, you know, and a little bit what we talked about in the beginning of this call is we want to make sure our pet gets the best policy possible and have everything, you know, there and the best. And the trick is that the best isn't necessarily the best for everyone. It's what works for you. And so how do you customize it so that it makes sense for what you need, right? If you're only worried about accidents, well, then only get an accident policy. If you're more worried about just illness in general, get a more traditional policy. And then you also have the ability to get one that has wellness plans in there. And for someone who is going to be a little bit more, you know, kind of involved in their pet's health and want to have that as a tool that no matter what happens, I could get my couple visits a year covered. So it really is different depending on the pet parent and what's right for that.
Okay, thank you. We talked about this a little bit in the beginning of our show, but let's talk about it again. How can programs like Care Credit help pet owners handle large or surprising vet bills responsibly? So I think it's definitely worth going over in maybe a little more detail. We have a couple minutes. How can that happen? And Care Credit, they can apply for, they can do that right at the vet office as well.
Yes, so you can apply for Care Credit if you go to carecredit.com and you link down and hit the veterinary link and you can apply for it there, or you can apply for it at a veterinary vet that partners with Care Credit, which I told you is about, you know, almost 28,000 practices, about 85% of the vets in the United States. So most places have it, and you could apply for it either before or when you get to the practice just by, you know, scanning the QR code and going through the approval process. And to answer your first question on how does it help? Well, it helps in a few ways. I think the way that I really value my Care Credit card, and I'd used it, and talking about Maddie, who is got Cushing's and a mitral valve deficiency, is it's there for you. It's a revolving line of credit. It's a credit card. It's not a one and done loan, right? And so it's something that you're going to have that is a, you know, is a credit line that you can use and reuse, as opposed to some of the loan products that we see out there. And that's particularly important in the vet space, because chances are, you know, you either have multiple pets that can use that same card, or your pet's going to go to the vet 1, 2, 3 times a year. It's very rare, but you know, someone just brings their pet once to the vet. It also works in some boarding and grooming locations as well. So there's increased utility for that. But basically, what it's a core product that we use is a deferred interest promotion, and that basically means you get a bill, and we'll try to make a simple example, but you go to the vet and, you know, something's wrong and they need it, and you get a bill for $1,200. Well, you may not have that $12 right away, $1,200 right away. And so how do you feel about paying for it? Well, you could put it, like you said, maybe on a normal credit card, or maybe you can write a check, or you can ask friends or something like that. But if you have the Care Credit card or apply for the Care Credit card at that time and get approved, you can put it on a promotion, which, let's say you're able to put it on a 12-month promotion at that point, it'll take the monthly payment over 12 months. And so you'll only owe $100 a month, which is a lot more manageable than $1,200 right away. And as long as you're making that monthly payment throughout the time, there's no interest. So you're benefiting from no interest, and you're just paying the true amount of what that vet bill is. And that's a great flexible tool to really help you care for your pet. And it's not just limited to one expense. You can, you know, let's say you have this $1,200 bill, and then, you know, you go back and you have a follow-up appointment and everything back hopefully is going well, but you have another $600 bill that, you know, as a result of it, you could put that also on a 6-month promotion, say, and have multiple things going. So it's really giving you that peace of mind that you have that card in case something happens, or at the last minute if you don't have it, being able to apply for it and then being able to afford it and pay over time.
Okay, thank you. That was a great explanation. Quick question. As far as the monthly deferment program, would that be based on someone's credit, perhaps, or the amount?
Your approval will be based on your credit. So, you know, it'll be a soft credit check. It won't be a hard credit check at first. So when you apply for care credit, it'll be a soft credit check. So it won't impact your credit scores. Then if you get approved, there's usually a place where you put in what your requested amount is. And then depending on, you know, the underwriting of the system, it'll give you, you know, hopefully the amount that you requested, perhaps even more. And that's based on your credit, correct?
Okay, wonderful. Jonathan, thank you. This has been so informative, and I think it's going to be helpful for many, many of our pet parent listeners. Where, again, can people find out more about Care Credit?
CareCredit.com is the best place to do that, and go to the pet health or veterinary health kind of drop down, and you can learn more. And then there's all those other tools that we talked about, education podcasts that we have, you know, vets that can also give advice on budgeting and techniques. And then the last thing I would say is it's also at your vet. So you can apply at the vet if you don't have the cart before. You just ask them about it. They'll probably give you a QR code to scan and you can apply there. But either one of those places is a great place to learn more.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you again so much for coming on Best Bets for Pets.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for doing what you're doing.
I hope everyone enjoyed this show. I sure did. You know, it's so important to take great care of our pets, but those unexpected bills can be a surprise. I've used Care Credit in the past. It is a great tool. I want to thank my guest today, Jonathan Weinberg. He is in the pet division of Care Credit. Thank you so much, Jonathan, for coming on Best Bets for Pets. Thanks to my pet crew, who they taught me what Care Credit was. It was a big vet bill with Mr. Dennis many, 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 many years ago, but oh, so worth it. So thank you, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly. Thank you to everyone listening to Best Bets for Pets. I appreciate it so much. I hope this helps you in budgeting and in financial care for your pets. And of course, the show would not be the same without my wonderful producer, Mark Winter. Thank you so much, Mark, for all you do to make our shows sound amazing. And hey, keep listening, because you never know what we'll have next on Best Bets for Pets.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.